Yes, hello. Thank you very much for taking your time today to follow this conference call on Q1 2019 financial results. Today's conference call will be held by Mr. Roberto Colaninno, Piaggio Group Chairman and Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Simone Montanari, Piaggio Group Chief Financial Officer. You can download the slides supporting this call from our homepage. As usual, I remind you that during today's conference call, we can use forward-looking statements that are subject to risks that can cause actual results to be materially different. Now, I would like to turn the conference call over to Mr. Simone Montanari.
Hello, everyone, and thanks again for attending our conference call. Before start commenting on our results, I would like to highlight that Piaggio applied the new IFRS 16 starting from January 2019. In this presentation, to provide a better comparison of information between the years 2018 and 2019, 2019 data will be presented also excluding IFRS 16. We can now start from page four. As you can see, we started again 2019 with what we believe may be considered a strong set of results. In fact, all key metrics were on the rise. At volume level, we grew more than 8%. In this context, Gucci stood out, growing around 25%, boosted by the sales of the new all-terrain bike, Buho 85 TT. Net sales went up double digits, the highest growth rate since 2010, with all geographies positively contributing besides U.S. In terms of margins, we posted a strong growth in all operating metrics, reaching an all-time profitability peak at EBITDA level, despite a negative Forex effect. Lastly, at cash generation level, notwithstanding the higher capital expenditures to support new initiatives, we achieved an outstanding result with the lowest seasonal cash absorption since 2007. All in all, a strong start to the year, we are very satisfied. Having these strong results in mind, we can now move to page five to have a snapshot of the key market trends. We ended the first quarter with mixed market trends. Europe has been finally the bright spot. This is the most important positive news of the quarter, with demand surging around 24%, exceeding also our expectation. More importantly, the strong positive trend in Europe has been widespread among all product segments, with scooter up by 26% and bikes up by 22%, and among all displacement segments, with 50cc vehicles up by 40% and over 50cc vehicles up by 20%. Additionally, all key countries ended on the rise, with Italy, Germany, France, and Spain all up double digits. In our view, this trend testifies that the long-awaited replacement cycle is well underway, and it's the best driver we may have for the full-year results. In this context, Piaggio Group kept the same market share of last year. In Asia, the first quarter demand trends were mixed and volatile. Indonesia ended up double digits, while Vietnam demand took a downward turn versus prior year, ending down mid-single digit. Among other major countries, Thailand kept the flattish trend of prior year. As expected, India three-wheeler light commercial vehicle market ended down, primarily on an extremely tough comparison base for passenger with last year, whose demand had been boosted in 2018 by the release of new licenses in some big cities. Conversely, cargo light commercial vehicle posted a robust mid-single digit growth in Q1 2019. Two-wheeler demand drifted lower both in bikes and scooter in India on a tough comparison base. Furthermore, the negative trend had been amplified by the price hikes mainly linked to the new insurance and safety regulation. In this context, Piaggio gained market share both in three-wheelers and two-wheelers in India. Let's move now to page six to have an in-depth analysis of the trend by business of our results. As you can see, we ended the first quarter with overall volumes progressing by 8%, leading to 11% revenues growth, meaning plus 35 euro million compared to last year, 10% at constant forex. More importantly, these healthy results stemmed from a synchronized growth in all cash-generating units. Similarly positive contribution to growth stemmed from all businesses, with both light commercial vehicles and two-wheelers adding around 17 euro million each of revenues versus prior year. More in detail, looking at the performance by geographic area. India confirmed to be the main engine of growth in absolute terms. Light commercial vehicle positive performance was driven by the synchronized healthy contribution for both domestic and export sales that led total revenue up to 94 euro million, that has been the best performance since 2011. Notably, Piaggio posted positive domestic performance despite the negative market trend. India two-wheeler performance has been sustained by surge in export more than compensating for domestic demand weakness. Lastly, I'd like to highlight that both in light commercial vehicles and two-wheelers, we achieved positive results with average prices on the rise against negative demand. Asia-Pacific surprised on the upside, posting strong performance acceleration with volume which rose 17%, leading to a 26% revenue growth, 20% at constant forex. Notably, Vespa, with revenues surging close to 30%, had been the key growth driver in the region. From a country standpoint, I'm glad to highlight that Vietnam, together with China, gave the highest contribution to revenue, followed by Indonesia and Thailand. Also in Asia, average prices were on the rise, also excluding forex effect. Lastly, and more importantly, we posted positive results in Western countries as well, both in two-wheelers and light commercial vehicles. European two-wheelers, despite the significant reduction of dealer stock seasonal increase versus prior year, posted healthy growth both in volume and revenue, more than compensating the protracted weakness of Americas. Notably, all major countries, Italy, France, Germany and Spain, gave a positive contribution to growth. Growth stemmed also from light commercial vehicles, which posted sound results both in volumes and revenues, on the back of strong performance of domestic and export sales. So to sum up, we ended the first quarter with the strongest revenue growth rate of the last 9 years, benefiting from widespread positive performance in all countries and businesses. Let's now move to page 7 to look at the breakdown of the performance by product. First of all, I would like to highlight the strong momentum in scooter, which posted the revenues on the rise in all geographic areas. Namely, the growth has been driven by the most diverse scooters and brands of our product lineup, the MP3 on one side and the Vespa on the other side. MP3 revenues climbed up double digits, plus 15%, also reflecting the successful launch of the new 500cc version in the latter part of last year. But more importantly, these outstanding results came ahead of the introduction of the new brand, new 300cc version of the MP3 that will be launched in Q2 and which bodes well for a positive performance in the remaining part of the year. Vespa volume, on the other side, and revenues grew, boosted by outstanding results in Asia-Pacific, plus 23% in volume, 30% in revenue, namely with revenues in Vietnam and Indonesia surging around 40%. Lastly, MP3 and Vespa average prices went up across the board, further proving the strength and broad appeal of these two brands. Looking at bikes, the mismatch between volumes, minus 14%, and revenues, plus 4%, was driven by the mix shifting towards high displacement segments. In this regard, the performance of the recently launched Moto Guzzi V85 TT has been impressive and showed by the info we added on the next slide. So let's move to slide 8. As you can see, the launch of Moto Guzzi V85 has been up to now a huge success. Around 10,000 test rides have been booked and we have already sold around 1,200 units around the world, essentially in 1 month, struggling to meet customer demand. These results allow us to foresee a rosy future for this motorbike and are driving us to raise our internal volume on the full year. Let's now move to page 9 to have a look at the EBITDA bridge. As said before, the EBITDA, excluding IFRS 16 effect, grew by 10%, or 13% at constant forex, reaching 48 euro million and 13.8% of margin on sales, the best Q1 performance to date, both in absolute and percentage terms. This very positive result was driven by the sound performance at gross margin level, which grew by 7 euro million, off the back of strong improvement of net sales, which had more than offset the negative effect stemming from a dilutive geographical production mix and negative forex effect, mainly from the US dollar revaluation compared to last year. It is worth noting that, excluding the negative currency effect, the percentage gross margin would have been 30.4%, that well above our long-term targeted threshold of 30%. Cash operating expenses ended slightly up against prior year, reflecting higher marketing expenses to support the new initiatives and upfront costs for new product development. Lastly, as you can see, IFRS 16 adoption brings a further positive effect on the EBITDA, lifting the EBITDA up to 49.5 euro million and the margin on sales to 14.3%. Going to slide 10, we can analyze the net profit bridge. Net result, excluding IFRS 16, doubled the one of last year at 7.9 euro million, with a significant uplift of margin on net sales that reached 2.3 percentage points. That is 1 percentage point better and above last year. This positive result stemmed from the higher EBITDA that has been commented in the previous pages, lower D&A compared to last year, and, as expected, lower financial expenses as we keep on reaping the benefits of the lower level of debt compared to last year and the lower cost of funding arising from last year's action, namely the issuance of the new 250 euro million bond and the refinancing of the 250 euro million revolving credit facility. Tax rate has been 45%, in line with our guidances. Lastly, IFRS 16 has a slight dilutive effect stemming from the higher D&A and financial charges, more than offsetting the higher EBITDA, setting the net profit reported, including IFRS 16, at 7.8 euro million, or 2.3% on net sales. We can now move to page 11, which summarizes the figures just discussed. To provide a better comparison of information from different year on the slide, 2019 data will be presented excluding IFRS 16. On the following page, we will see the effect of the IFRS 16 implementation. Net sales went up from 312.3 euro million up to 346.2 euro million, or 10.8%, or 10% excluding the forex effect. Gross margin went up from 96.7 to 103.9 euro million, up 7.5%, or 8% excluding forex effect, with a margin down to 30%, or 30.4% excluding forex effect. EBITDA from 43.2 euro million up to 47.6, namely plus 10.2%, or 12.5% at cost on forex, with margin on net sales stable at 13.8%, but on the rise if we do not consider the forex effect, at 14.3%. EBIT from 14.5 to 20.5 euro million, up 40%, with marginal net sales up 1.3 percentage points from 4.6 to 5.9%. Net income doubled from €4 million of last year to €7.9 million this year. Furthermore, you can notice at the bottom of the slide the strong performance at cash flow level, with the lowest seasonal cash absorption since 2007, that took the net debt down at €456 million, well below the level of March 2018. We can now move to slide 12, where you can see the results including the IFRS 16 effect. As said before, IFRS 16 will bring a positive effect on EBITDA, which reaches €49.5 million, up 14.5%, or 16.8% if we do not consider the foreign. Higher D&A compared to last year, including the operating leases that have been reclassified in financial leases, a slight positive effect at operating result, which reaches €20.7 million, higher financial expenses, slightly higher financial expenses compared to the not including IFRS 16 situation, a slight negative effect on net income, basically neutral, which lands at €7.8 million reported, double the result of last year. As you can notice on the bottom of the slide, the biggest impact of IFRS 16 is at net debt level, plus €20 million compared to the situation excluding IFRS 16, leaving the net financial position at €476 million, that is, again, plus €20 million compared to the €456 excluding IFRS 16, but in any case, lower compared to March 2018. Finally, and before starting the Q&A session, let's move to page 13 to have an in-depth analysis of the evolution of the net debt. Operating cash flow grew versus last year on the back of higher EBITDA. Working capital seasonal cash absorption was significantly lower than last year, mainly benefiting from higher contribution from payables compared to the first quarter 2018, lowest increase of the inventories, with a positive contribution of plus €15 million compared to the first quarter 2018, and we have been able to rein in the receivables despite significantly higher net sales and factoring in line with prior year. As expected, capital expenditure was significantly higher than last year, plus €7 million, driven by higher focus on new product launches, consistent with the full-year target in the range of €120-130 million. As a result, the total cash absorption has been €29 million lower than last year and has been the lowest level since 2007, which pushed the net debt, excluding IFRS 16, at €456 million. Lastly, as commented before, after including the IFRS 16 impacts, the net financial position ended €20.3 million higher at €476.4 million. Thanks for your attention, and we are ready for the Q&A session.
We will now begin the question and answer session. Again, if you have a question, please press star one. The first question comes from Bosio Monica of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for taking my questions. Three from my side. The first one is on Europe. Can you give us some flavor on the months, on the current months, as for the European two-wheel market, and more in detail for the scooter segment, likely if you can split between 50cc and below 50cc, I would really appreciate. And the second question is my usual one. Given the beat on the estimates at the EBITDA level, and considering that the replacement cycle is gaining pace, don't you believe that the current consensus, which is pointing to an adjusted EBITDA at 215 might be too conservative. Excluding the impact of IFRS 16, wouldn't be more reliable or better a consensus in the range of 220 plus, obviously, the impact of the IFRS 16? And the very last one is on India. We will have the election in the second quarter. Do you expect a slowdown for your volumes and for the market? And are you still confident in a high single-digit growth in India for the year-end? Thank you very much.
Hello, thanks, Ms. Bosio. Thanks again for your question. Starting from the first one. Europe, we do have some very rough data together with the Italian one. The growth rate has been in the single month of April around 10%, and this 10%, basically, if I split this 10% by scooter and bikes, the growth rate of scooters is higher compared to the one of bikes. And if I look the growth rate of scooter, the 50cc segment is growing around 20%, while the over 50cc segment is growing around 7 to 8%. Mm-hmm. Again, these are preliminary data.
That's for Europe?
That's for Europe, yes, okay. That's for Europe. Consensus, you properly pointed out that at the moment the consensus level, the EBITDA level, is 215. I think that the first quarter, the start of the year has been very positive for us. I do agree with you, and it's a sound pillar to build up the full year. It's still a quarter, it is the first one, that it is not the best, the most important one, but it is a very good start. Considering this and considering the forecast we have, I think that there is some space to improve the consensus estimates on EBITDA level. You mentioned something in the region of 220, and I agree with you.
Okay.
India, Q2 election, yes, they are an issue. I think that for Q2, we will not expect volume higher than last year due to the election, both for the market, there will be a weakness of the market. We already experienced the weakness in the first quarter, also considering the tough comparison base. And we will be in line with the market, at least for domestic sales, then we will be export. So I think that all in all, in Q2 we will have volumes, both commercial vehicles and two-wheelers, in line with last year. If you ask me the full year guidance for India, I think that a mid-single-digit growth will be fine for us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Storer Nicolò of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for taking my question, two, if I may. The first one on Southeast Asia. You posted very strong figures against a quite weak or at least difficult market background, in particular in India. So I was wondering if you could elaborate a little bit more on what's happening there and which are the expectations going forward, and if the performance of Vietnam, the market one, has been influenced by policies to limit the circulation in city centers. The second question, a clarification on IFRS 16, to make an estimate on the full year impact, is right just to multiply by 4 the effects that we have seen on EBITDA, D&A and financial charges in the first quarter. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Torres. Starting from the first one, on Asia Pacific result, they have been very good. We are satisfied of them. There has not been no new policy or new regulation at the country level or the city level. This is just the result of the efforts we put in organizing our structure in Asia. efforts that have been started 1 year and a half ago, and finally we are collecting the results. There's a rumor on the background, I don't know who is speaking. I hope you are hearing very well. So no discontinuity from a market standpoint. We performed very well thanks to the efforts put in place in the last month. If I look at the full year after this very strong first quarter performance, I think that we believe we should be able to grow in Asia double digit on a full year basis. On IFRS 16 impact, you are right, that is, if you have to evaluate and to forecast the impact on a full year basis, it is correct to forecast that at the EBITDA level, the result is a quarter one times four, so basically around 8 million euro of EBITDA in addition to the estimate that I was referring before. This is true for the EBITDA, this is true for the D&A, this is true for the financial cost. At net debt level, the plus 20 million that we had in the first quarter will be flat and stable throughout the year, so also at the end of the year.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Gallazzi Emanuele of Equita. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, everybody. I just have two questions. The first one is on the U.S. market, if you can give us an update on that market. The second one is on the gross margin, just because the gross margin was slightly lower than in the first quarter in 2018. So I was wondering if you see some pressure on cost, in particular on raw material, and if you can give us an indication on the trend that you expected during the year. And the last one is a follow-up on the APAC, just to understand if you can give us a little bit more color on the trend in the different market. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Gallotti. Nice to speak with you. We start from the raw material one, then I will leave the ground to Mr. Luporto for the U.S. market trend. Raw material, is it correct? Well, we didn't see any particular increase in raw material cost. The slightly lower gross margin compared to last year is basically driven by two effects. The first one is a forex effect, that is the revaluation of the US dollar compared to last year has hit our gross margin at gross margin level. But again, at EBITDA level, we are quite neutral in terms of forex effect. But at the gross margin level, we lose something. The second effect that has an impact on our gross margin compared to last year has been the lower production in Europe compared to last year, because and due to the fact that we wanted to decrease the proprietary stock together with the dealer stock. So producing less than last year has been less efficient compared to last year. At the Pacific level, to give you more flavor, more color on our results, if I compare the growth rate that has been plus 17% compared to last year, positive peaks, all the countries were positive compared to last year. In Vietnam, that is our most important one, we grew by 7% in terms of volume, but by 20% in terms of revenues. Then we grew in Indonesia, 30% in terms of volumes and 40% in terms of revenues. And in China, even if we have very small numbers, but we grew 50% in terms of volume and we doubled our results in terms of revenues. Leaving the ground to Mr. Luporto for U.S. market trends.
As far as the U.S. market is concerned, yes, the market went down again, and mainly in the scooter sector. So scooter went down roughly 10%, and motorbikes around 2%. And
okay.
We kept, on the contrary, our market share stable.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Robert Francois of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. My first one is on tax rate. It has remained at 45% again this quarter. Is there any plan so far or later in the year or at a foreseeable horizon to tackle that high tax rate issue? And the second one, I saw in the press release a share buyback. Can you give us a bit more of color on its conditions? Are you waiting for the right stock price to buy, or are the 37 million? Will they be spent for sure by the October 2020 deadline? And finally, yes, on guidance again, can you tell us if you plan on upgrading your guidance soon on EBITDA, net debt, and maybe give us some more color on top line? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mr. Francois. We start with the tax rate. 45%, in my opinion, is a good and a reliable level also for the full year guidance. So I would stay with the 45%. Share buyback, there is no news compared to the last year, or compared with no discontinuity. It is just the renewal of what we had in place up to now, and it was approved by the last shareholder meeting, but no plan on this, no specific plan on this. This is just a maximum amount that we are allowed to do in case and if we decide to do it. The guidance, the EBITDA level, I just answered to Ms. Bosio question, so I stay with the 215 lowest, 220 more reliable one at EBITDA level. At the net debt level, I wouldn't change the guidance that we had, at least the consensus. I see that the consensus has a 411 million for the net financial position by the end of the year. I would stay with this one, because even considering the higher EBITDA, I see that we may have higher capital expenditure compared to the consensus, because we are targeting 120-130 million in capital expenditure for the full year. And in terms of top line, at the moment the consensus is 1,480 million. I think that this may be increased a little bit. You may choose the size of this increasing, but there's space to also to increase this result.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Baldelli Michele of Exane BNP Paribas.
Hi, good afternoon to everybody. I have a couple of questions. The first one is about the amount of the decline of the stock of the dealers network in Europe. If you have a feeling of how much the stocking there was in Q1. And then the second question is, can we say that you are anyway increasing the share in the ASEAN region, so Southeast Asia? Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Baldelli. So starting from the first question, the stock, you know that in the first quarter the trend of the stock of the dealer is improving, is increasing, because they do buy vehicles in order to be ready for the second quarter for the sales. So this increasing trend, if I compare the increasing trend of last year compared to the one of this year, the one of this year has been the half compared to the one of last year. In particular, in details, the level of increase in stock has been 5,000 vehicles less compared to last year one. The second question was market share in Asia, Mr. Rupotto.
In this case, we can give some good from Vietnam, because even if Vietnam went down around 6% in terms of market, we gain around 5% in terms of market share. This is what we can give in terms of market share gain. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
That's an highlight on the first question. In case you are comparing the sell-out data, the market data, the market share data, and the sell-out data compared to the sell-in data,
yeah.
I agree with you that the sell-in growth would have been higher if no destocking effort would take place.
Yeah, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Jose Tom of Neuberger Berman. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. I just had a question around your capital structure considerations. It reads from your last, at least from the annual report, that at the moment you have 250 of the 25s outstanding, and you have a lot of local bank financing. and less than 30 million of the 22s. What is your intention with these notes, or at least with the bank loans? Would you seek to come to the capital markets to try and refinance the existing bank loans? Is that approach something you would consider, or would you do you intend to pay down the bonds as you stand? I guess the reason I ask is the bond market is considerably attractive for your name, so I was wondering if you would consider coming in doing something in the near future. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Rosé. Regarding the financial position and our gross debt situation, you know that in 2018 we did two significant action in order to renew our gross debt situation, the issuance of a new bond and the issuance of a 250 euro million credit facility. So we already did a lot in 2018. It is true that if we go into the market today for the bond, for a new bond, maybe we will have some saving, but it is also true that there are a number of one-off costs that we would incur in. So in this moment, it's not profitable to think something on this type, and it's not foreseeable in the near future that we go back on the market in order to issue a new bond.
Okay, so just to confirm, you would continue with the existing local bank financing and not, I understand it's a point, a point and a half additional to call the bonds, but as it stands, you're comfortable with your financing structure as it is today?
At the moment, yes. At the moment, okay. Yes. Once we will see that the potential saving will be higher than the one-off cost, we may reconsider this situation.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
The last question comes from Bosio Monica of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just a follow-up. Can you give us some flavor on the rising capex for this year? 120, 130 is quite a rather high level for Piaggio. So I was just wondering if you can give some more indication about this.
Thanks, Ms. Bosio. We are going through quite a significant investment plan in terms of product during this year and very likely also the next one, but in particular this year. Basically, we are working both on commercial vehicles and, as you know, also thanks to the agreement that we have in place with Foton, and on two-wheelers, both in scooter and in bikes, where we have strong investment plan together with scooter. In addition to this, there are the new regulations coming in particular the Euro 5 that will take place in 2021 and the Bharat 6 in India in 2020. So considering all these factors, the 120 or 130 range of capital expenditure is reliable for this year.
Okay, and your sustainable, or let's say at a steady state, are you planning to come back at 110 million?
Yes, in the following years, I think that, well, let me say, it is true that in 2019, 120, 130 is quite a higher level of capex compared to last year. But it is also true that considering this EBITDA, it's in balance with this EBITDA level.
Mm-hmm.
So if and when, as we think, the EBITDA level will be like this or higher than this, I think that 120, 130 may be a balanced level of capex compared to this profitability level. In case something lower compared to this will come, we are ready to push back the capex level again down to the 80, 90 million that we saw in 2017 or 2018.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Again, if you have a question, please press star 1. There are no questions.
Okay, so I think that now we can conclude the conference call. As usual, if you need further information, you can call me later on tomorrow. Thank you very much for attending the conference call. Bye.